says he'll never leave me. He said that he won't forsake me. You walk beside me, and that is all the matter. He'll never leave me. He said that he won't forsake me. You walk beside me, and that is all the matters. The sun will smite me, and the moon, Lord, will not hurt
me. On walking in power, walking in power, walking in the power of God, walking in power. Hallelujah. You see, the world as we see it and as we have it now is run on the basis of power relationships. It's run on the basis of who has or wield authority or power at any point in time. Things are shifted, are molded, are forced to bend in the face of power. So you can cry all you want, but tears are not the keys required for bringing about change. You can feel sad all you want, but the systems of this world are not organized to respond to sadness. Because in fact, as a consequence of their setup, a lot of them are the source of sadness. So they don't respond to your sadness. It takes more than just how you feel to compel things to be brought into alignment. And I pray that by the time we are done with the next 7 days, may God bring us into a dimension of power like never before. Somebody say power. Now, it says, and I give unto you power. This is one of the things that Jesus likes talking about. He says, I give unto you power. I'm going to explain to you practically 4 dimensions or 4 ways to encounter or walk into the realms of power. I'll share with you the first 2 today and the concluding 2 next week. Amen. Please open your Bibles with me to the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 1. Luke, chapter 9, verse 1.
The book of Luke 9, 1.
Yes.
Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases.
Luke 9:1 again.
Then he called his 12 disciples together.
Yes, sir.
And gave them power and authority over all devils.
He gave them 1, power; 2, authority over all devils.
And to cure diseases.
And to cure diseases. Luke 10:1.
After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them 2 and 2 before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come.
Okay. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now the Bible says in the first scripture we read in Luke 9:1, it says Jesus called how many? The 12. And he said, I give unto you power and authority, and it says to drive out demons and cure diseases. This is the 12 Jesus is talking to. He says, I've given unto you power and authority. You see, power is important. I'll come to that again, because look at the military, for example. Men of equal stature, equal height, equal qualifications, equal eloquence. Yet one man alone can stand and shout instructions, and hundreds of men don't have a choice but to respond in accordance with the instruction of just one man. Because no matter how tall you are, how educated you are, at that point in time, power is in the hands of this person issuing the instructions and directives. And if you love the place you are, your job is simply to respond to the instructions being given you. Hallelujah. All of us in this country are about 30 million and over. We have given one man power over us. And when that one, whatever that one man says is what becomes. Are you with me now? Tomorrow morning, if they wake up, the man and all his parliamentarians wake up and say, you know, everybody must now pay 80% tax on all your income. You the only thing you can do is to demonstrate. But the person who has power has issued a decree. And if you flout it, they will come for you. In the same way that power structures are arranged in the realm of the physical, power structures are also arranged in the realm of the spirit. It is that the reason why Jesus will come to a place, the land of the Gennesaret, and the Bible says there is a man there who is who has lost his mind, and he's filled with so many demons. And Jesus doesn't know him from Adam. He has not had an encounter with him before. In fact, when he asks him his name, it is proof that he has never met him before. He says, "Who are you?" And says, "We are. I am Legion, for we are many." That's where the introduction was established. He didn't know him, but immediately he saw Jesus. He knelt down and began to shout and scream and say, "What have I done to you? What have we done to you? It is not yet our time." Because you see, physically they may not know each other, but in the spirit there is a power dimension that has already been established. And so the man knew him in the spirit. There are some of you, we see your face right now, you don't look like anything, but in the spirit you are loaded with power. In the spirit you are recognizable. That is why things can happen to people in your family, they are not permitted to happen to you, not because of the English you can speak, because there's a power dimension you are walking in. And I pray that may God bring us to the place of power in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout power. So it says in Luke 9:1, he said, "He called the 12 and told them that I have given unto you power and authority to, you know, cast out demons and cure diseases." Then you read 10:1. It says, "He called the 70. What did he tell them? He said, "Go into the city." The first group, the 12. Number one, we know them by name. We know their identities. We recognize them. We know all of them. Who are the 70? We don't know them. The first dimension of power is to walk in your assignment. And I'll explain to you. Walking in your assignment. Because every assignment comes with the power that enables its fulfillment. Every assignment comes with the authority required to excel in that assignment. When he called the 12, the assignment was, "I've given you power, authority, go and cast out demons." When he called the 70, their assignment was simple: go into the city. "The city I'm yet to arrive in, go there." The Bible says they went as Jesus said. Their names are not written in the Bible. We don't know their identities. We don't know the jobs they are doing. We don't know the families they are. In fact, when it comes to the 12, some of them, we even know their brothers. We know their mothers. We know so much information. Peter, we even know the job he was doing. We know much about them. The 70, we know nothing. And the assignment was simple: go into the city and you know, go ahead of me as I come. The Bible says when they went, they came back to Jesus with a report, and they were telling Jesus that when we went there, demons were subject to us. But when Jesus was sending them, did he say they would cast out demons? There was no addition of anything like that. But in following the assignment that Jesus gave to them, they encountered power that enabled them to excel in that assignment. In fact, when they came back and they told Jesus this, Jesus now tells them, "And now I have given you power to trample over scorpions and serpents." As they walked faithfully in their commission, their power and authority that Jesus gave them kept increasing and increasing. Are you with me now? And so when you have an understanding of what your assignment is, you walk in it faithfully, and God releases power as you walk in it faithfully. Watch me carefully. I didn't say walk in it loyally. I said walk in it faithfully. There is a difference between faithfulness and loyalty. Loyalty is not in the Bible, but faithfulness is in the Bible. You let me leave it there and let me continue my story. When you walk in your assignment, so when you pick a man like Dr. Mensah Otabel, he has a full understanding and appreciation of what his assignment is. He has stuck with his assignment, and he is empowered to excel in that assignment. Pick another man. Archbishop Charles Ajinasare. He also has an understanding of what his assignment is. If he starts doing what Dr. Otabel is doing, he will fail. Because he's not called for that. He's not gifted for that. He's not empowered for that. The problem with our generation is that we want to do everything that looks nice. We want to copy everything that looks appealing. But assignments are more important than what is nice to your eyes. Because at no point in time can the spoon begin to challenge the knife in cutting competition. It has lost already from day one. Your job is defined, your job is specified, your assignment is clear. The day you start to copy what others are doing is the day you have admitted that you have failed. Look at someone say, what is your assignment? Oh, look at another say, what is your assignment? Assignment, look, when the president assigns somebody as a minister of finance, he is empowered to be minister of finance. You are in your house, but they will tell you Ghana has gone into a contract to take out. Were you there? Did they call you? Did they ask your opinion? No. Somebody who has been given the authority on the behalf of the president has put all of us in a contract. When a man is assigned, the man is empowered in that assignment. Hallelujah. There are many, many young pastors who won't do well. Not because they are not called. Because they are more interested in appealing to people than working in the fullness of their assignments. Listen, you are not called to do everything, but you are called to do something. You are called to do something, not everything. You can't do everything. You cannot do everything, but you can do something. That which you are called to do, you will do it and you do it effortlessly. I remember I was teaching on how to discover purpose some months ago, and we used the story of Nehemiah. If you've not listened to that sermon, please go to podcast. It is there. We used the story of Nehemiah as a way of discovering purpose. Because vocations are different from purposes. How many of you remember that one? Your vocation may not necessarily be your purpose. So whenever God gives a person an assignment, he gives the person power for that assignment. He said, go into the city, U70. They were not interested in having their names known. They were not interested in having their identities found out. They were not interested so much in people giving them accolades. In fact, Jesus told them, when you go, when a house does not receive you, just shake off your dress and depart with your peace. Because Jesus knew that people reject them, yet he didn't care. He sent them and they were more than willing to go in that assignment. None of the 70s at any point looked and said, but why did you give the 12 in just verse 9 of Luke? Why did you tell them nice things with the assignment? Me in verse 10, in chapter 10, they are telling me something else. The God who created us understands what we can do and what we can't do. He made us the way he did for a reason, for a purpose. Look at somebody to say, you can't do everything, but you can do something. Now, the second dimension of power is knowledge. Knowledge. Second dimension of power. And that's why I want to spend a lot of time. Knowledge. There is a place of knowledge in our lives. There's a place God has placed knowledge in our lives that prayer cannot take. You can be prayerful, sorrowful, and you can fast. But what knowledge can do, prayer cannot do. In fact, it is knowledge that empowers prayer. Because if you don't know, what are you praying about exactly? The foundation of proper prayer is on knowledge. And that is why the world has even discovered this revelation, and they will tell you knowledge is power. Knowledge is everything. Oh, see, you can impart wisdom, you can't impart knowledge. There can be an impartation of wisdom, there can never be an impartation. I'll show you how you get knowledge. You can't impart knowledge. Like, lay your hands and say, from today, do you know that if Pastor Ajete here, if Lionel Messi comes to church on Sunday and lays hands on him, I impart into you footballing skills more than I have, he will still not have it. Why? Because that skill he has is knowledge based. It is, he has done it over and over and over and honed the skills and increased in the knowledge of it. So you can't impart, you can impart wisdom, you can't impart knowledge. Nobody has ever been imparted with mathematics grace to go and pass mathematics without stepping in a classroom before. No matter how anointed you are. Oh, I'm so anointed. Let the professor of mathematics lay hands. The professor is also a prophet. So he lays hands. I impart mathematics. After he has done that, there still has to be a process for knowledge acquisition. Because you can't just impart knowledge into people's head. But knowledge is a dimension of power. I remember when we were in secondary school. I went to the boarding house in Form 2. Because Form 1, they said all of us in Accra, they don't give us boarding house. So we went in Form 2. Now, when we got there, the Form 1s hadn't come to school yet. And we were put in the hands of some people. So in the 2 weeks, we were waiting for the Form 1s to come. Those they called new boarders were the Form 1s. They treated us like Form 1s. Hey, all of you, kneel down. And we are kneeling down. See the way I'm standing here looking nice. The way I was kneeling down like I don't have head. When scrub, we are scrubbing. And you see, they will scrub one small portion and use that as the standard for you to scrub the whole church. We're doing crazy things and weeding and all that. Until one day. Oh, I said one day. Until one day we found out that the people commanding us around and punishing us around were our mates. That was the day I respect for them. We lost the respect for, you see, because we didn't know them. When we came, they were the one commanding us. We didn't know. He said, come and kneel down. We are running. Said, by my fourth count, all of you must appear and assemble. We are running like chickens, headless chickens. And they are giving number. Yes, one, two, three. So when they come and you don't have number, you're in trouble. Until we realized that these guys are mates. You see what ignorance was doing to us? There have been stories of people who went to school. And when they got there, Form 1 fresh, their own mates punished them. And later they found out that they were their mates. Ignorance is so much of a disease than you think. Ignorance. The Bible says, for lack of knowledge, my people perish. There is a place of pain that is produced absolutely out of ignorance, what you don't know. But suddenly when you come to know some things, it gives you power. There are people who are empowered in our generation because they know something we don't know. Hallelujah. They have come to know something that we don't know. Have you not seen those people who were smart in class? It's like when it's time for exams, they are showing off. When they ask questions, showing off. Yeah. Those of us who don't know too, we are at the back there. We want them to even postpone the exams. It's not, like next week, let's do it next week. Because when you know, you are empowered in a certain dimension. When I'm ministering and God says, call this person, I call and I start ministering, there is something I know that gives me confidence to ask you the questions I'm asking you. Are you with me? There's something I know that gives me confidence. Years ago when I called Pastor Mike, I said, God said in the month of February, he's giving you a child. I was so confident in what I was saying because I knew what I had seen. The time the prophecy came, the wife was not even pregnant yet. But God said, and I said, God said. The rest is in the hands of God because I know. Hallelujah. February, ask your neighbor, what do you know? Or ask another, what do you know? Now look at this scripture. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Yes, sir.
Ephesians 1.
Where's Philemon?
Outside.
Call him for me. Ephesians chapter 1. Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
An apostle of Jesus Christ.
Verse 16. Ephesians 1:16. Please listen carefully.
Ephesians 1:16.
Yes.
Cease not to give thanks for you.
Cease not to give thanks for you.
Making mention of you in my prayer.
I am making mention of you in my prayers.
That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of
glory. Sit here for me. Give me 1 minute. Why? Yes.
The Father of glory may give unto you
glory,
the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened.
The eyes of your understanding being enlightened.
That ye may know what is the hope of his calling.
Oh, mine. That you do what?
Know.
That you do what?
Know.
You will know. That God give you wisdom and revelation. That you come to the place and know. What do we know?
The hope of his calling.
Go ahead. The hope of his calling.
And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance.
Now you see, this scripture is connected to the first point I gave you, assignment. It said that you will know what? The hope of his calling. Do you know you are called? Everybody under the sound of my voice now is called. I didn't say you are called to be a pastor. I said you are called.
All right.
So if you want to hear calling, hey, man of God, man of God, man of God, man of God. I didn't say you are called to be, I said you are called. Have you forgotten? It says, all things work together for good to them who love him and those who are what? Called according to. So there's a purpose, but the purpose is out as a result of a calling. Everybody is called to do something. Your workplace, you are called to be there for a purpose. Your home, you are called to be there for a purpose. Your family. So there's a knowledge that you must have in respect of your calling. Go ahead.
And what the riches of the glory of his
and what the riches of his glory
in the saints.
Yes, go ahead. There's a part I
and
want
what
to get
is
to.
The exceeding greatness of his power to add word who believe according to the working of his mighty power.
And to know what? The exceeding greatness of his power towards us. So the power is already there. There's no debate about it. But what brings us into alignment is knowing that there's a power that has been released for us. So if you don't know this, people will take you for a ride. Knowledge is important. I taught you on Peter that the Bible says when they caught him and they put him into prison, he was sleeping. When a decree had been made that they were going to cut off his head, he could afford to sleep. Who dares sleep when you know today is your last day? To the extent that the angel is doing everything to wake him up, he can't hear. So much asleep. But the truth is that Jesus had told him on the day he called him that you, Peter, today you are young, you go wherever you want. But the time is coming, you will be old. Somebody will have to dress you and somebody will have to take you where you want to go. And so he knew that Jesus had given him a promise that he will be old. And at the time they put him in prison, he wasn't old. And Jesus cannot lie. So he could afford to sleep because he knew that as long as Jesus had given him a promise, there was no way they could kill him. Hallelujah. That knowledge brought empowerment and brought comfort in the midst of storms. So when you know the exceeding greatness of his power towards us, you are not moved by things. You are empowered in this generation. Hallelujah. There are things that some of us have gone through in life. If we start telling you the story, you ask, how have you survived? We walk through them with smiles on our faces. We walk through them with light-heartedness. Because there is a knowledge we possess of what God has said and what God is doing. Hallelujah. Knowledge, when you know. If God were to tell you, tomorrow, an amount of money is being handed over to you at 2 a.m. At 2 a.m. Listen carefully. At 2 a.m., if God were to tell you, and you wake up at 1 and your house is burnt, what will happen to you? God tells you at 2 a.m., you are going to receive $100 million.
and you wake up and the house you are in right now is burnt at 1 a.m. What will happen to you? We are waiting for 2 a.m. Does it make sense? People who don't know what you know may be crying, but we are waiting for 2 a.m. People who don't know what you have received, the knowledge you have, the secret keys you have been given, will be under pressure. They'll be wailing, mi papé. But those who have possess the knowledge, you know that there is some 2 a.m. that is coming, that when it comes, all the tears will be wiped away. I pray for you. May God bring us into knowledge of his exceedingly great power towards us in the name of Jesus. Lift up your right hand, shout power. Knowledge that we will know. Also, look at this scripture now. Ecclesiastes 10:15.
Ecclesiastes 10:15. The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, because he knoweth not how to go to the city.
The labor of the foolish, that's what? It wearieth every. Why does the labor of the foolish weary them? Because there is something they don't know. They don't know how. The city is there. It is not to be debated. The city is there. It is in a particular place. It's in a particular location. The question is that there is a fool who is worrying everybody because they don't know how to get there. Now, the word foolish is not always an insult. How many of you agree? It's not always an insult. The word foolish also is a state. It's a description. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Because you were taught something, but that which you were taught is like you have forgotten it. So you are in a state now where that knowledge that you receive, you have left it behind. So your current state is a state of foolishness. So it's a state. So some of you can be nicely dressed and yet, you know, because it's a state. If you don't know and you are ignorant, the fool worried everybody. He doesn't know. The city is there, but he doesn't know how to get there. Knowledge. May we know who we are in Christ. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said, may we know who we are in Christ. Yes. May we know what he has done for us and our place in this kingdom. No. You can't be tossed around to and fro by any word that you hear. You can't just believe just anything. There's something you must know concerning your life. It brings power. Like I said in the analogy I gave you, the 1 a.m. and 2 a.m. issue. Some of you are working currently in the 1 a.m. time where things are bent around you. But you don't know that there's a 2 a.m. time coming. And because of that, you are so worried. Because of that, you are under pressure. Because of that, the flames and the wings you are seeing in your current state is putting so much burden on you. But I came as a servant of God to bring you revelation, to bring you information, to bring you knowledge that there's another time coming, 2 a.m., where the promises of God are about to become manifested in your life. In the name of Jesus, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yes. Knowledge. Three ways you can acquire knowledge. Number one, studying. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved. You get obtain wisdom by studying. Study. You study. Study the scriptures. What if some of you knew what the scriptures meant in our work, you will study it like crazy. You will study. Study to show. Learn. The Bible says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Have you forgotten what we just read in Ephesians? It said that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened. In other words, light will enter your eyes. If in him was life, and the life is the light of men. And the same hymn we are talking about is spoken of in John 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. That same Word is life. That same life is light. And so the more you study the Word, the more you allow the light of God to enter your eyes, and your understanding is sharpened. That's why you must study. If you don't study, People will tell you fables, tell you stories in the name of God. Not everything said from the pulpit is from God or from His word. It doesn't matter who said it. Only God is infallible.
You agree?
Only God is infallible. Only His word is infallible. As long as we are in alignment and faithfully, you know, bringing exegesis of His word, we are fine. If we step outside that realm, we are in trouble. Only His word. All of us can make mistakes. Only His word. And so for you to be able to obtain knowledge, you need to study. Don't read the Bible casually. Study. Know, there are things if you know in the Bible, older or better. Because I give you power to trample over scorpions and serpents. Do you know that people who don't know have ascribed moral values to serpents? I've confused everybody, I know. They've ascribed moral value. In other words, serpents are evil. Are they evil? Why is Jesus saying, be as wise as serpents? See, anything is anything and can be used by anything. Did you hear what I just said? Anything is there. Go to some villages, the tree is worshipped. They put power in the tree. So, should we not sit under trees again? When you study, your eyes are opened. There are things that don't just sway you, don't just move you. Go to certain places, the dove you think is holy is used for occult. Tap somebody, say study. There are things you must know. I taught you some time ago, people will read the Bible and they say, and the Hebrew women, they gave birth before the midwives. Did you see that in your Bible? He said, and the Hebrew women gave birth before the midwives came. Because of that, don't allow anybody to catch you. We will pray, you give birth, you will die. It's not true. The Bible said that Pharaoh called women and said, you see these people, kill all of their babies. And because they feared God, scripture said, because they feared God, when they were not killing them and Pharaoh came to ask questions, they were now telling Pharaoh stories. They were lying to him that the Hebrew women had special powers. It was a lie they were telling Pharaoh. How do we build a theology on a lie? So now, I know many women who go to the hospital, but they won't allow the doctors to do anything because the prophet said, he didn't touch me. The same prophet taking paracetamol for his headache. What are you talking about? If you don't study, you don't know, you are not empowered with knowledge. People will tell, you ask their nurses in church, they will tell you the stories people come and tell them when it's time for them to deliver. Then my grandmother said in our family, we don't cut, we all give birth naturally. You have not seen somebody whose umbilical cord has tied the baby's neck before. You push, the baby will come dead. May God bring illumination into our lives in the name of Jesus. May we know. Lift up your hands and say, may I know. Say, may I know the exceeding power, the exceeding greatness of His power towards me. When you have this knowledge, they can do whatever they want in your family. You are protected. You are preserved. Because we have an understanding of who God is in our lives. See, I told you the world is run with power. Yesterday, a friend of mine, pastor friend, was telling me a story of a gentleman we know and how he had an accident. He drives a motorbike, like not the, like the proper motorbikes. The one that when you hear the sound and you're a car, you move out of the way. See, the one that vibrates through the streets. And he's well clad, he has his helmet and black, everything protected, knee, shit, everything, everywhere. Jacket. They found him on N1. Had an accident. Apparently, a cow
appeared on the N1. Where did he jump from? He hit the cow and fell down. And the car dragged him and the cow all on the N1 like that. If your house people are not looking for you, how would you hit a cow on N1? N1. And the anchor said, you hit the cow somewhere in Abokobi. There are many cows here. And that was so it will make sense. They have targeted this person. And it was only one cow. Cows, no, they are congregational. One pair. You say you walk in power. Look, the enemy likes those who are powerless. So he can just go after them and move on expanding the kingdom. When they come near your territory and they find out you are empowered, they will step back. That's why the Bible says resist the devil. So study. Look at someone and say study. Oh, master, look at another person and say study. Oh. Number two, way. It's exposure. 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 When you're exposed, there are things you know. There are things you know. Yeah. When you're exposed to situations, there are things you know. Imagine a debate going on between Moses and some people. And people are saying that it's not possible for a fire to be catching a tree and yet the tree is not burning. Imagine. What do you think Moses is going to say? Moses say, it's a lie. I've seen it. It is possible for fire to consume a tree, yet the tree is not burning. Why? The exposure has imbibed knowledge. You can't argue with what somebody has been exposed to. Hallelujah. You can't argue. No, when I was doing Bible school, one of the courses, theology survey, and the lecturer is a white man, Dr. something, Wheaton, and a van. He's teaching, and we got to the subject of the prophetic. And he's teaching what he knows. But I have exposure to what he's teaching more than what he's teaching. So there are things I have caught in dimensions beyond what he has read. That is not in alignment with what I know. So whatever he's saying is sounding like music to my ears, but I know something through exposure. In fact, when that man was supposed to teach demons and powers, it was a topic. When he got there, he said, as for this topic, I don't really know much about it. This is a professor. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to give all of you an opportunity, those who want to share stories of demons and powers. Now my class, forgive me, but my class is made up of 95% Voltairians. 95. So when they open the door, Radde, Papa Niti yourself, Broni, Ondindi, Ubedi. You are telling him, and these are truths. It's not stories. These are truths. They have lived it. So you can't tell them stories that it doesn't exist. You understand what I'm saying? Some of you in your families, you have seen things before. So if somebody comes to tell you English, it will not align because what you are exposed to has defined clearly a certain knowledge pattern in your life. So number two, exposure is key. Some of you, if you travel, there are things you won't do again. I say, Agbogbana. Somebody say, Jesus. Hey, Agbogbana. Yeah. Exposure. There are people, if they start preaching to congregations like Grace Temple, their message will change. Don't preach some of the things they are preaching again. You have knowledgeable intellectuals sitting here. You are coming to tell them stories. You must carry substance. Are you with me now? Yeah. Very important. So exposure is key. Exposure. Look, some of our footballers, their favorite food was gobe. So they went to play one season in Europe. Now Kempinski. All along, the potential for Kempinski was there.
But exposure has brought knowledge and brought the ability for them to actually acquire it. Are you with me? May God bring exposure in the name of Jesus. It brings knowledge. There are people seated here who did science in secondary school. They haven't seen some of the things they read before about before. They just saw it in textbooks and drawings. If they show it to them physically, they won't be able to identify it. My point is, it's one thing to read. It's another thing to be exposed. You can read about America. When you step foot there, it's a different conversation. Hallelujah. Yeah. It will shock you. I remember the first day I stepped foot in South Africa. When I came back, I was angry. I said, no, Ghana is a waste of time. Waste of everybody's time. Why? Look at this country is in Africa. Look at what they've been able to achieve. Look at their buildings. Look at all this. Ask them. I was angry for about 1 month. I was very angry in my spirit. And then the next time I went to Nigeria. Lagos. Immediately I got from the airport, when I came back, I said, We are doing well. We are doing very well. we are trying. My conversation changed. I said, we are trying. Are you with me now? Maybe it's because I didn't go to some, you know, posh places. But the airport alone, I was part of an entourage. We were going for programs and we're in like 15 Land Cruisers. The people don't care that we are entourage police. They don't care. They're even insulting the police. You know, here when the motorcade, when everybody just gives them way and then they park, forget it. Who are you? Everybody is busy. We are looking for money. Don't come and disturb us this morning. Yeah. I saw that we're trying. My point is, it's one thing to read about something, to be told. It's another thing to be exposed. Some of you, when you are exposed to the power of God for real, your mind will never be the same. Your life will never, never be the same again. Are you with me? Or I have met people who never believed in the prophetic till they were exposed. No, till they were exposed. Suddenly, I remember prophesying to a grown man, somebody's grandfather. By the time we're done, he was on his knees calling me Papa. I said, Daddy, don't call me Papa. Don't let prophecy make you forget that I'm still your son. What are you talking about? Exposure. May God bring us into places of exposure in the name of Jesus. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. May God bring us into places of exposure in the name of Jesus. Some of you, if you see some of the cars people are making these days, you realize that what you are driving needs help. It needs help. I went to visit one pastor friend of mine in ICGC. Very, very, the man is an inspiration to me. So I went to visit him. We're having a conversation and he said, he had moved to his house. And he said, I want you to come around. Let me give you a tour in my house. So I went and we're just going. He said, this is here and this is there and this is there. So my chef is here. Do you want to eat anything? I'll let my chef cook for you. When he was taking me around talking, I was taking notes. So there's a life like this. And when we finished, we're having, I said, man of God, these things I'm seeing here, I only see them in Nigerian movies and hotels. I didn't know it was somebody's real life, everyday life. You have given me exposure. I didn't know it existed. Hallelujah. There are things when you are exposed to and it gives you knowledge, your life can never be the same again. I pray for you. Whatever thing we need to be exposed to bring clarity and alignment, may God bring it in the name of Jesus. Last one, encounters. Encounters.
Thank you for listening to the Apostle Josiah Aubyn Jr. For more of these messages, please subscribe to his podcast and SoundCloud. It's Apostle Josiah Aubyn Jr. To interact with him, like his page on Facebook, follow him on Twitter @Apostle Josiah Aubyn Jr.